Welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast.
And welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast. Monday, April 29th, 2019, show number 236.
Here are your hosts, Steve and Lee.
Welcome, welcome, Pepper Loud listeners. The prodigal son has returned. I'm your host, Lee, and I have returned stateside. And in Boston, we have Steve. Steve, how's it going?
I was really hoping we would be done with this after our two-episode stint.
Hiatus?
I want to make this like a British like TV show where it's like five episodes, like once every like 4 years.
Like the OG Office.
Yeah, or like Luther, or... That was the only shows I know. Netflix has a ton of those British shows, and a lot of them aren't very good.
Or as you were telling me before the podcast, you think HBO's Barry should be one season.
It should have been one season. I mean, it's fine. It was a very good idea, but I don't know. I can't really buy Bill Hader as a like an executioner.
I am here to kill you.
Dark comedy, not your thing. But Battle of Winterfell, big fan, right?
No! I was not a fan of that episode.
Well,
I can spoil it for everyone. Alright, if you don't want spoilers, which, I mean, by the time this comes out, if you haven't watched it yet, you're not going to watch it at all. I have some thoughts on it.
Well, this is Pepper Loud, and Game of Thrones talk is not allowed on this podcast because, my friends, we are here to talk 2019 baseball. Like we said, we are back for episode 3 of the season after a 2-week hiatus.
So we're not talking about Game of Thrones?
We'll save it for extra innings. We want to get into baseball. Like we said, our mission this year is 20-minute recaps, updates on the season, what to look for, interesting things. Well, just because as things are going, Steve, my attention span has lessened. I don't know about yours.
I don't even know what you just said.
See, exactly. All right, let's get into it, Steve. Quick power rankings update. What have we missed over the last couple of weeks? Well, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Everyone on the Yankees is dead.
The Yankees is dead. But they're playing well. But we're not going to start there. We're going to start with the other big market team on the West Coast. The Dodgers have continued their incredible start to the 2019 season. Most notably, Clay Bellinger. Cody Bellinger, not Clay Bellinger.
Is Cody Bellinger the example of like, okay, so you have like the dads who played Major League Baseball. Is this the example of the shittiest father, like with best son combo?
Was Ken Griffey Sr. good? I don't know.
He was better than Clay Bellinger, I can assure you of that. But also, Ken Griffey Jr. is better than Cody Bellinger. So, maybe it balances out. Like, how good was Bobby Bonds?
Also, a great technique by Bobby and by Clay to name their kids, not exactly Junior, but to use the same amount of letters in their name. 5 for the Bonds, I guess 4 for the Bellingers. The Boses did that too in the NFL draft. I'm on to this. I don't like it. Just name your kid Junior.
Just Junior. You don't like the name. I don't like the name Cody to begin with. Apologies to if any of the 7 people who listen to this are named Cody. I apologize, but it's not a great name.
Oof. Hi, I'm Cody.
Steve, though, a man with a lot of strength behind that name.
Steven with a PH. Don't give me this V shit.
Well, I'll tell you what. Other guys with strength are also in the Los Angeles Dodgers because they've got 49 home runs, slugging first in the National League in all major categories. And also, Clayton Kershaw, back.
He's back, baby.
With his third great start over the weekend. So a lot of the questions I think fans had going into the Dodgers, can they make it back to another World Series? Are they going to be the Buffalo Bills of the 2010s, 2000-aughts, whatever it's called? I think.
How far can they go, do you think? Like, how many World Series in a row do you have to lose before you're just like, okay, someone else needs a turn?
Well, I kind of hope it keeps going just from a selfish reason, and that it becomes like the new storyline, because ever since the Red Sox and the Cubs have vanquished the Demons, right? I mean,
the Astros never won before, and they won.
Well-known
franchise.
Yeah, no disrespect to the Astros fan base, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's just obviously a little bit more notable when a big market team has a great narrative behind them in baseball, especially, and You know, the Mets have that, I think. You know, I don't think the Mets are getting back to a World Series this year. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But yeah, a lovable team is a lovable loser is kind of what fans want, and the Dodgers.
Nothing's more lovable than a massive payroll juggernaut.
Well, that's the greatest trick that these owners have pulled, right? I mean, the Red Sox for so long were lovable losers. The Cubs were lovable losers, but they also had giant payrolls with these cash cow stadiums and enterprises behind them.
Not anymore. They're all poor.
But not anymore.
You know what's crazy? So Cody Bellinger's having like an insane April right now. Mike Exisa of CBS Sports had and of River Avenue Blues, which coincidentally died today, which is RIP because that was my favorite baseball blog by far. He had a tweet today that would quote, Cody Bellinger is having one of the best Aprils in baseball history, and he is still more than 400 OPS points short of Barry Bonds' April in 2004.
I mean,
how is that possible?
I mean, anything from the Barry Bonds mark.
But how is that like possible?
He was getting on base 57% of the time. I don't know what I can't remember his OBP off the top of my head, but it was. It's just insane.
You know what team sucks, by the way? The San Francisco Giants.
The Giants are very bad.
They are very bad.
So, I mean, yes, being in a big market does not equate to success. The Giants have almost...
Evan Longoria wasn't a franchise savior?
It seems like they have almost adopted like an anti-Bill Belichickian philosophy, and by that I mean Belichick's obviously known, and other franchises too, but he's most notably known for getting guys out the door a year early before a year too late, and they've seemingly kept all of their guys from their World Series runs probably 1 to 5 years too late.
It's going to be so depressing when Bumgarner gets traded for like a low A like project arm at the stretch run, and then he goes to like, say, the Yankees and just rips off like an insane stretch. I can see that happening.
Yeah. Well, moving on, besides the Dodgers, big market, boring, everyone knows about them. Let's go to the AL East, but a small market team. Tampa Bay. The other story of the Major League Baseball season, but noticeably, Tyler Glasnow, the 25-year-old right-handed, cool-haired pitcher. I mean, he was 101 in the Cy Young odds going into the season, and now he's the prohibitive favorite around 5-1. Across a lot of sports books. I don't know how you have a 5-1 odds on a pitcher right now.
That's kind of in April.
So much can go wrong. Not that I'm hoping for anything, but he's got another 150 innings to go here in the season.
Are you worried about Snell kind of being shitty this season, though?
So you think that? That means that the voters aren't going to want to vote for another Tampa Bay pitcher.
No, you're talking about the Rays being the feel-good story. I don't understand why you think they're a feel-good story. Like, we should not be embracing poor teams. No offense, but if teams are going to be like, oh, we're going to just not even make an effort to have payroll. And they went, like, what, 90 games last year and shrunk payroll by, like, $20 million and be like, this is just going to encourage teams to think that this is okay. I don't like it.
I don't know if there's an equivalent in sports of what they're... If say they do keep this up and they are similar to what they were last year, even though outside the playoffs, but a 90-win team in baseball is nothing to really shake your head at.
It's pretty impressive.
If they're able to do this again, it's not a national story by any means, but it's pretty cool of an accomplishment.
No, because half the nation doesn't know they exist, so I don't think it's going to be a national story.
Yeah.
Why do you think this is a cool story? I'm curious.
Real fast, your mic twiddling is like creating like a weird noise.
My mic twiddling. Oh, my twiddling.
Like when you hold the cord and spin it, it makes like a super loud noise.
I wouldn't do that anymore. I know what I was going to ask you.
Go for it.
What do you why do you like the Rays? Like, what is it about the story that you are interested in?
I feel like, I feel like I covered it a little bit.
No, you didn't. Then the fact that you can't answer it tells me all I need to know.
They are the lovable losers. I mean, I think they. It's just a weird dynamic that I just don't think is replicable. Like, you know, obviously other pro sports franchises are in Tampa too.
There are.
It's just.
Buccaneers and Lightning. I was like, who else is
It's a weird thing. I mean, you ask a Tampa sports fan, I think the hierarchy of things are probably Bucks because it's football, probably a lot of other college football teams, 2, 3, and 4, and then 5 is the Lightning, where great this year. Not that this is a hockey podcast, but they've been really good the last 5 years. And then I think below that you have the Tampa Bay Rays, and the fact that the Rays are winning games with this ragtag crew is, like, I don't know, pretty crazy.
Here's my take. I think the Yankees in Tampa are more popular than the Rays are because of their free training facility and all the freaking transplants that come from New York.
It's not crazy at all.
That must suck.
Yeah, I mean, I mean the fact that they lose Friedman 3 years ago now. Eric Neander is I think that's how you say his name. It's crazy. The machine keeps rolling there in Tampa. All right, moving on. Like we've talked about the Yankees, we talk about them ad nauseum, but like you said, they're all hurt. Who's doing it as somebody who's not watching these Yankees games with a 4A lineup?
One man and one man only, Luke Voit, which I think at this point he might actually have, like, he was just named AL Player of the Week, so he may actually get some MVP love, if I'm guessing. It's just the fact that they got him for Chase and Shreve, which, you know, hat tip to the Yankee scouting department for targeting that dude and just being thinking that. And the fact that the Cardinals basically gave him away and then put together a huge package and a huge extension for Paul Goldschmidt, which I'm not comparing, obviously, Luke Voit to Paul Goldschmidt, but value wise, you can't really argue with that. And he's the number one reason why that the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders are on fire right now. Also, the fact that they're playing Anaheim and San Francisco doesn't hurt either. Those are two just god-awful franchises. San Francisco, let me tell you, I know we just talked about them. They suck. They really, really suck. That Pudge Rodriguez's kid was pitching on Sunday, and I swear to God, he had like 14 walks and 2 innings. He was just god awful. And, you know, Gary Sanchez hit like 2 mammoth home runs in San Francisco, which is apparently impossible if you ask any Giants players. So, yeah, they suck. But, yeah, the Yankees are feasting on crappy competition. But it's these games still count. The fact that Tampa Bay could have run away with this division by now, if, like, the Yankees could have easily caved it in or mailed it in for this whole stretch run. And then I don't know what the hell's happening with the Boston Red Sox. Like, the fact that the Yankees, I just can't help but feel like the Red Sox are going to really regret playing like shit for these past 3 weeks while every one of the Yankees is dead. It's so bad. I don't know what the hell's happening to the Red Sox.
Chris Sale pitched a great game yesterday, but they ran into a buzzsaw. So yeah, it's
sucks. 11 Tampa Bay Rays beat him.
Yeah, hey. It's raise up, baby.
See us raise.
we're gonna become the official Tampa Bay podcast of the Tampa Bay Rays.
No, I'm sure people already done that. That's a Jonah Carey shit right there.
Oh, is that a bit I'm stealing?
I don't know. Is Jonah Carey even still employed anymore?
I've noticed. Let me just say the podcast game in baseball
is weak.
It's weak.
That's why we're so popular. That's why everyone was so happy when we came back. You know, people tweeting, being like, oh, thank God they're back. Thank God, this is amazing. And then when you disappeared for a couple weeks, not a single person reached out and be like, hey, when's the pod coming back? They had their 2 episodes and were like, oh, we don't really care about these people.
Look, this is spring training for us, just like it is for our listeners.
It's hard to talk about.
The real season does not start until Memorial Day.
Yeah, like, we were talking before we hit record, and I was enjoying that conversation way more than I'm enjoying this one, so it's hard.
Look, for as long as, well, like, we are a Tampa Bay's Rays podcast now, but before that, your boy here was a Seattle Mariners fan for the first month of the season.
Still on fire.
They're still on fire. So,
smoke and mirrors, baby. Jay Bruce. We'll see.
When they fall out of a tie or near tie for first place with the Astros, then we'll start talking real baseball.
You know what's crazy, though? They're probably going to be able to sell off some players at the deadline, like Jay Bruce, and maybe even Encarnacion, and get like legit value back for them. So good for them for taking those chances with those players.
That's become the quote quote, to steal a phrase from Joel Embiid, if we're ripping IP from other people here, copyrights from other people, it's trusting the process, right? That's the process in baseball these days.
It's true. So, like, and you know, good on them. I don't think they're going to succeed. They had prize prospect Justice Sheffield make his debut earlier this week. It did not go great, but what can you do? Who else is even good now? So the Mariners are the White Sox any good? I'm all about Tim Anderson. He's my guy now. His bat flips. He doesn't do bat flips. He does bat chucks.
So, as a guy who fell out of the prospect game for a 5-year span, because to be honest, the Red Sox sold off all their prospects, so I wasn't really into it.
Oh, Michael Chavis, kid.
Explain to me Tim Anderson, because he's statistically off to one of the best starts. War.
He's hitting like stats. 440.
Was this guy a prospect?
I think wasn't he with the number one overall pick, or am I thinking of Tim Beckham?
You're thinking of Tim Beckham.
Yeah, guy's named Tim. But the Tim Anderson, was he good? Was he like, he is a prospect, right?
I thought you were into the prospect game.
I'm like you, man. I don't know these things.
Right, but well, I looked it up here. He was drafted in the first round of the 2013 draft. That's okay. The Mark Appel, Chris Bryant 1-2.
Oh, God. He was what a fuck up there. Imagine if the Astros had Chris Bryant.
That would be insane.
I'm not going to feel too bad for him. That's pretty hilarious.
This could be known as the Clint Frazier draft as well. You never know, Steve.
Oh, Clint Frazier, the other guy, keep it, but he's dead too now. Damn shame. But yeah, Tim Anderson. Thing I love about him is that, like I said, he does bat chucks when he hits monster home runs, and then these pissy ass pitchers throwing at him like for showing an ounce of happiness when he does something well. It's just amazing. I love it so much. So he's the new favorite player of the podcast. We're a Tim Anderson Stan pod.
Tim Anderson.
Tim Anderstan.
Tim Anderson.
I'm on to something. See, I just need to talk to you for 18 minutes, and then I'm back in my group now.
Do we have any IP lawyers out there? We got to trademark that shit.
Maybe. Oh, I actually do know. I know a patent lawyer. How far off could that be?
Law's law, my friend.
Law is law. He's gonna be my number one call if I ever get into some hot water. So,
to answer your other question of who's off to a hot start, Chris C.H. Davis, last seven games, has a slash line of 316, 350, 684. Whoo!
Back from the dead, baby. Didn't he pitch a couple scoreless innings, too?
I think he did.
What an athlete. I feel bad for him. I know he makes an ungodly sum of money, but I feel his little streak where everyone was booing him and the Orioles are so bad, and he came out of nowhere and was such a good player for them for so long, and then everyone just hates him. And now he's finally back.
I'm rooting for him.
Me Underdog too. I you know what? We're a Tim Anderson pod and we're a Chris Davis pod.
I love Davis
with a CH. I don't mind Chris Davis with a K, but he's actually like good, and people expect him to be good. No one expected Tim Anderson and Chris Davis to be good.
I'm on board. Well, before we wrap it up here,
that's it.
I was gonna enlighten the folks here based on something I'm lifting from Fangraphs and Devin Fink writing this. Devin Fink, isn't that the kid who like broke stories and he was like 17 years old or 16 years old?
Wasn't that like Chris something?
No, it was this kid.
Chris Caraba.
He was like out-dueling Rosenthal and some things a few years back. But anyway, he wrote a nice piece here on Fangraphs talking about hit by pitches, and it is at an all-time rate, harkening back to the year 1900 with the highest hit by pitch percentage. It is insane. The last 2 years, 1%. So that means one out of every at-bat so far this year, somebody's getting plunked with a pitch, which is pretty high.
Do you think it has a lot to do with like hitters crowding the plate?
So his theory here, I mean, it's probably multifaceted, but
pitch it inside, baby.
One of the theories is, for the most part, people get hit by fastballs, which makes, I think, a lot of sense intuitively. But the other thing that was interesting is historically pitchers have gotten hit by starting pitchers at a rate of 57-ish% and by relievers at 43%. But his theory is that these relievers are coming in now more frequently earlier in the game, and they're coming in jacked up, juiced up, trying to throw fastballs, and they're getting away because the starters are obviously just warmed up. They have better control. It's just another pitcher throwing, where these relievers got like 15 pitches to make maybe, and they want to throw their best shit and maybe let one rip that gets a little out of control.
Want to throw their best shit.
This is a baseball podcast, so you got to have some nerdy analytical shit get stuffed down your throat, I guess, every now and then.
It's true. It's true. Wow. Everyone's getting hit.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it. Podcast number 3 is in the books. Sorry for the 2-week hiatus. Great trip to Korea. Saw a lot of baseball overseas in terms of...
Did you go to a Samsung Lions game like you said you would?
I unfortunately did not get to any KBO games.
You did not go to a single one.
And you didn't give me the password for our
Twitter. I did!
Pepper_live.
I absolutely responded to your message.
All right. Well, if you check out our and follow Pepper_loud, I now have access. I will post some of the insane photos.
So you're saying that you do have the password?
Well, it's on my computer, so I did have it on my phone. Didn't have it on my phone.
Well, you sent me that message in the middle of the night, and I saw it and then responded to it.
The baseball culture is insane out there. It is.
It is weird that there are countries that actually like baseball.
It's crazy. I mean, when you obviously travel to European countries, it is just soccer, or excuse me, football.
I prefer to call it the beautiful game.
Yes, and it's just bizarre to be in another country, and instead of it just being Messi and Ronaldo jammed down your throat, it's Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, obviously all the Korean players.
Who's the best Korean player right now?
Probably Hyunjin Ryu, right?
Yeah, that's what I was probably going to go with. Is he hurt?
I think so.
Yeah.
They were showing...
What a rotund fellow, too.
Yes.
Bad body.
They were showing the Pirates. The Pirates have 2 problematic Korean players.
Oh,
on
they
team.
Have Kang.
And their prospect, too, I think, maybe have some kind of other drunken infraction on his resume.
People love to party in Korea, apparently.
Everywhere you go, you'd see a lot of baseball hat, you know, major league team hats. You would see a little bit of KBO stuff. The one thing I wanted to buy was the only thing I wanted to come back with was some kind of KBO hat or t-shirt. And I would have thought that,
like, we were in
touristy areas. And everywhere I asked, there were like, why the hell would you want that? I'm like, what? They're like, no, you want like Dodgers, Yankees? I'm like, no, I don't want that.
You can get that literally anywhere here.
People were confused. So I guess you have to buy that. That's only pretty much online? At the stadiums.
Or
online probably too. I'm sure you can get it. But so that was my non-Korean baseball, Korean baseball experience.
I think we've established that we need better Korean baseball players now that I'm thinking about it. You know what? When I went to London, you know what everyone wore there? A black Yankee cap. Everyone had a black Yankee hat. It was, and they were like the shitty looking, like Marshalls looking ones with like a Velcro strap on the back. And it was like a fashion statement. It was very weird. Everyone had it in London. It was bizarre. And I was wearing a real Yankee hat, and they probably thought I was some loser.
Well, just wait, Steve. The Sox are crossing the pond, invading and taking over Britain.
Have you seen the problem about that series?
I have not. What's going on?
They're home games for the Red Sox, but Major League Baseball is having the Yankees wear their pinstripes because that's like the most recognizable uniform. Which makes sense, but the Red Sox are the home team.
Well, I'm sure the Sox will wear some kind of alternate jersey that they can sell and foist upon foreigners to buy it. 200 pounds per pop.
It's just a British flag shirt. Oh, did you also see that the Yankee team doctor performed elbow surgery on Nathan Eovaldi? Ooh. And the headline in the Globe was Yankee doctor performs surgery on Eovaldi. So, like, if anything bad happens, they know who to blame.
The Hippocratic Oath doesn't apply to baseball rivalries.
Yeah. They're going to sabotage Evaldi's career. I think Evaldi's sabotaging his own career. Right. Who would have thought that was a bad signing?
Glad he got paid. Happy for him.
A-Rod always says, it's the kind of guy you want to marry your daughters.
Good looking guy.
I don't know. He looks like Oscar Isaac, I think.
He's like Carl Pavano's like cousin.
Carl Pavano. Oh, forever. You know what? They do kind of look alike.
All right, Steve. I think on that note, good time to end show number 3 of the 2019
Anytime
season.
Anytime you have a Carl Pavano reference, you got to end it on that note.
Steve, any final words to the people here on Monday, April 29th, 2019?
If you're wondering what that buzzing noise behind me was the entire time, it was the dryer that's next to me, and it literally just ended as we're signing off, so apologies for that.
Trevor Bauer, play us out.
You don't know me. You don't know me.
Why not?
You judge me on appearance. You don't judge me on my merits because you don't know me.
Nope.
You don't know me.
Why not?
You hide behind a mask to facilitate attacks, but you don't know me. You won't know me.